Hi, I'm Dave Jackson. Welcome to another JPR Live session brought to you with the support of the Falls Tap House in Klamath Falls. Joining me in the JPR Steve Nelson Performance Studio is Pacific Northwest singer-songwriter, trumpeter, producer, and cosmic country crooner Bart Budwig. Find his music and merch as well as tour information at bartbudwig.com. His latest release is another burn on the AstroTurf out on Fluff and Gravy Records. Bart, welcome to JPR. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We're recording this at 9 a.m. Congratulations on being a musician that knows that exists.
Yeah. Well, you know, the free breakfast ends at 9:30, so.
There you go. Yeah, you know, I'm a fellow morning person, so I kind of get it. In addition to your own recordings, you've worked with all kinds of artists we play on JPR, like John Craigie, Shook Twins, Margot Silker, the Rainbow Girls, just to name a few. You started out as a trumpeter and have moved on to singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer. Tell us about the evolution.
Well, my grandfather plays cornet, and I don't actually remember starting playing. I guess one time I just picked it up, and so then my parents kind of encouraged that. Mm-hmm. I mostly played jazz growing up, and now I mostly play with like other songwriters or bands. I mostly just sit in and play for fun on like a song or two, or I don't know, like at the festival in Sawtooth last year, I think I played with like five bands in a row, because they were all my friends. I feel like I overcommitted myself, but it was a lot of fun. So basically I tell people I just, you know, once I was like 17 or 18, that's just when I got sad. So that's when I started writing songs. So the transition was, that was the transition. I didn't really play guitar till I was 18. And then once I started writing songs, I recorded myself and a couple friends. And then I went to a technical school for a year, Conservatory of Recording Arts and Sciences. And then I've been, I was a CNA for 8 years after recording school. And then I was also helped run sound for local events and recorded people. And I've been full time since basically 2015.
Yeah, good for you. And your sound is all kinds of different kind of styles, sort of rolled up. You're described as a cosmic country crooner. I just love that. What? How did you develop your style?
Well, you know, it's kind of weird because I'm not too sure. I grew up mostly listening to like 90s Christian music. And so, like, I didn't even listen to any country or music from the 60s and 70s growing up at all. Like, the first bands I like were, like, Cake and, like, Bob Schneider, like, secular bands. So, and then Sarah Cahoon is a Northwest artist that plays kind of alt-country, or I'm not sure what you would call it.
Yeah, we're familiar with her. You've worked with her a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, mostly just running sound, and then I connected Margot and her. Sarah produced Margot Silker's latest record. Margot's like, I like her music. I was like, well, I can text her. I bet she'll like your music too. So I just had a feeling on that one. So I started getting, after seeing Sarah when I was running sound in my like 20s, honestly, that's kind of when I got into outlaw country. Waylon and Willie, and then that kind of extended into 60s soul, American soul. So I feel like a lot of my influence was I just really got into music from the 60s, whether that's like Al Green or Waylon, or those are like two examples of people I really love. But so that's why I feel like it's broad in the sense
it's two examples of people that are on sort of not opposite ends of the world, but in, you know, playing different kinds of music.
Yeah, I feel like I'm influenced more by a decade than a genre.
Well, cool. So you've been working on some new songs, is that right?
Yes, I have. I've been working on some new songs. I got a DUI song, I got a song about ordering food online, and I got a song about not going to therapy.
Let's hear a song. What do you want to play first?
I'm going to do a song called Jesus Has Entered the Neighborhood. This one goes out to my favorite delivery driver, and it's a gospel tune.
Jesus has entered your neighborhood. Jesus will be here soon. You're drunk and too tired, you might need a driver. Get ready, Jesus will be here soon. Jesus has entered your neighborhood. Jesus is pulling up now with vegan spaghetti and Coke, not a Pepsi, thank God. Jesus is pulling up now. Pull yourself up off the floor. Jesus is knocking at your door. Jesus is leaving your neighborhood. Jesus is coming back soon. So pick up your shit and leave him a tip. Get ready, Jesus will be here soon. You better get, oh, get ready. Why don't you get, oh, get ready. Jesus is coming back soon.
That was Bart Budwick with Jesus Has Entered the Neighborhood. He's my guest in a JPR live session today. So that song's about a delivery driver that you ran into during the pandemic. Is that how that worked?
Yeah. I had a girlfriend up in Yakima, Washington, and she sent me an Uber. The song is basically co-written with Uber and their notification, their iPhone or their app, you know, their phone notifications.
Oh, I can
that was
see
the
how
inspiration for the words of the song came from the phone notifications.
That was a fun song. I like it. So you're originally from Moscow, Idaho. Now
yep.
You're in Enterprise, Oregon, and you record at the OK Theater. Tell us about the OK Theater and Enterprise, because it seems like somehow a little tiny town in Eastern Oregon's kind of a hot spot for music right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff going on there. It's about 2,000 people. The whole county is 7,000 people. And the OK Theater is a 100-year-old theater that my friend Daryl Brand and his family bought, I believe, in 2014. And so I had been working in healthcare for 8 years, and I decided I needed to change things up. So I called Daryl. I'd run sound for him for a couple things. That he just loves music, so and it's a small town, so he would, you know, he was booking one or two shows a year, just for his own enjoyment, you know, to be honest, and obviously his friends and family and stuff, and I would run sound, but anyway, so he got the theater, and then I felt like moving on, and I went on tour running sound for Radiation City, Portland area band, and that was the first kind of month-long thing I did. And after I called Daryl up and I was like, hey, I don't really know what I'm doing after this. Can I put my piano in the theater? And then he asked me to move into the theater apartment and be the production manager. So that's basically how that started. And we try to host about one show a month. This theater's about, I think it's 15. It's 350 and it's a 2,000 person town. So. Whatever, it's like a sixth, is that right? Anyway, my math might be bad, but you get my point.
Right.
So we try to, we host community events, people will do stuff there, but we try to host more occasional shows so that we can get the theater nice and full and
get
some good vibes going on.
Yeah, get the good vibes going, cool. But you record albums in there, is that right?
Yeah, so I've probably recorded like over 50 records in there.
Mm-hmm.
I use the space as a recording studio and set stuff up. I'll be working with the Shook Twins, actually, in April. So I use that. The natural acoustics are really cool because it's kind of like a new movie theater is totally dead. So, like, if you go into a brand new movie theater, it's like I think of it as kind of a semi-uncomfortable environment to talk in because it's so dry. Right. And then you have like an old hall, which is super echoey, so which can be problematic for like drums or electric guitar, and it's great for vocals, but the theater is really neat because it's built in like 1919, and it's kind of right in the middle where it has like a nice long room sound. It's like 100 feet long, but if you mic stuff closely, and it's like kind of dry at the same time. So it's both sounds like a big room and like a dry room mixed together. And that's one thing I really love about it. But I think a lot of it is also, I set everybody up in a circle. It's mostly about the vibe and making sure that everybody enjoys making a record.
So you guys, you're recording basically live.
Basically live recordings. Live, yeah. And most of the albums I work on, we also do, you know, add things later. But I strongly encourage people to, you know, at least do 3 to 5 people live so that you get the magic of human interaction and space and air in there.
Right. Your video for Rolling Stoned, was that recorded in there? Because I noticed that circle full of folks singing and playing.
Yeah, that's probably the best example, although that's like pretty absurd because I had like all of my friends play on that song.
Yeah.
That's actually the recording that is on the record too. That was actually recorded like that. So there's like, I don't even know, like 7 people on the stage, right. And just like everybody's standing and playing guitar and singing.
Right. It was like Rainbow Girls and John Craigie. And
there's a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, hey, we'd love to hear another song. What do you want to play next?
Let's see. I'll do the sad one now. This is the Skipping Therapy song. I don't really have a name for this one yet. I don't wanna go. I can't explain why. I don't wanna go. I don't wanna try. 'Cause trying takes time, and I'm tired. I just wanna go. I can't explain why. I just wanna go. Oh, I don't wanna try. 'Cause trying takes time, and I'm tired. I don't wanna love. I can't explain why. I don't wanna love. Oh, I'm too scared to try. 'Cause trying takes time, and I'm tired. I just want love. I can't explain why. I just want love. Oh, but I'm too scared to try. 'Cause trying takes time, and I'm tired.
That's Bart Budwig with an as-of-yet-unnamed song. He's my guest in a JPR live session today. Find his music, his merch, tour information at bartbudwig.com. That's B-A-R-T-B-U-D-W-I-G.com. Your writing, and kind of like your sound, it's got many facets to it. I get a little bit of humor out of some of it, some insight into a bunch of it. It's sort of, to use the cliche, it's kind of three chords in the truth, although there's more chords in some of the songs. I'm just using that as a cliche.
I did two the whole time. I was like, better add a couple more, I guess.
Right. And you do some covers in your shows. You did last night. You played Where Have All the Average People Gone? Roger Miller, he played that song. Dennis Lind wrote it. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Roger Miller has my favorite version of that song.
And recently, Charlie Crockett did another version of it. He called it Where Did All the Honest People Go? He did a little change on it. He did a version of it recently, too. So. And then you played in your set last night the Mavis Staples tune written with Jeff Tweedy, that you're not alone. So who influences your songwriting?
A lot of my songwriting is most, I would say, as far as the words, it's, I think, personal stuff and then using humor as a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. But, I love Roger Miller. That song is incredible.
Yeah, it really is. There's a lot of...
You're Not Alone is one of my favorite songs. We sang Northern Sky by Nick Drake. Mm. There's a lot of... I do really enjoy singing songs that I love. Those songs have definitely all influenced me. I love Lucinda Williams. There's a lot of songwriters. I don't know. It's hard because it's hard to know what is an... I don't think about other artists when I write,
sure.
But I know that the music I love affects what I write. Does that make sense?
That does. I get that.
And so, that's kind of, I would say it's kind of when things just kind of swell up and flow out, but I'm absorbing a lot of music too at the same time. So,
sure. You wrote the song "The Captain and the Dreamer." That was that was out of Astoria. That was a story out of Astoria.
Yeah,
tell us about that story.
Yeah, so "The Captain and the Dreamer" is a song. Basically, I was walking on the Riverwalk, so it's at the end of the Columbia River where it meets the Pacific, and there's a bunch of big giant cargo ships. And someone was telling me that most of the people who work on the boats, which are kind of like cities on the water because they're so big, they don't leave the boat when they're docked. Docked isn't the right. They're just sitting in the middle of the river, but they don't leave the boat. And I was thinking about how they must miss home a lot when they're sitting there watching everybody walk around town and stuff. I would imagine they miss their friends and family. So that's kind of where The Captain and the Dreamer came from. It's kind of like, I like to be on the road, but I miss my home. And then vice versa, when I'm home, I wish I was on the road. It's a catch 22 kind of song, I guess. I don't even know what is a catch 22 a fishing term?
Literary term.
It seems like it could be a boat term.
It could be, yeah. Might as well. We'll go with that. One of your more popular songs, it seems like, is the sock song. Tell us who knew socks and relationships were a good combination there.
That is a German friend of mine. I think that people who learn English as a second language always sometimes phrase things in much better, more concise ways than people who learned English first. But anyway, she was dropping off a musician at the airport, and she said, "It's like socks in the washer. They never come back." And I just thought that was great. And so I wrote a song about it.
Oh, neat. How about playing another song? You got another new one?
I do have
share with
one.
Us? Okay.
This one is called "Life Drives Me to Drinking." I've been playing a lot of backgammon in the last 2 years. It's my new favorite game. Anyway, so if you haven't played it, just, maybe you should start playing backgammon, and then next time I come through, I'll...
We should have a backgammon game and an interview at the same time.
Yeah. Actually, that's a really good idea. It might be, if, except when we're thinking, we might not talk very good.
Or it'd be like, you know, the Seinfeld in cars, comedians in cars getting coffee or something like that,
exactly.
Where they get a lot of good stuff out of it.
Maybe I'll interview you.
Oh, there we go. Boy, I'm interesting. Super interesting, too, let me tell you.
Maybe I need to bring a podcast rig on the road and then play
backgammon
with people and ask them questions.
I like it.
All right, this song's called Life Drives Me to Drinking.
Playing backgammon, cooking up a ham and cheese in the microwave. Picking shots of Fernet, making all my best bets, hoping things will go my way. Working on a crossword, thinking about the third word, wish it was yesterday. Rolling up a fat spliff, about to take a skinny dip and jump off a rock in the shade. Life drives me to drinking. Nothing is fair. I pay my taxes. I cut my hair. Cannot steer.
This is the guitar part.
Driving in the left lane, trying to find the right lane, wondering when things went wrong. Oh, picking up my cell phone, I don't want to go home. What you got going on? Life drives me to drinking. My pain always breaks. I change the world. I even bled the brakes. But when I am sober, I don't get far. Drinking and drops me off at the bar. Life drives me to drinking. My hands are tied. I got pulled over.
Life drives me to drinking. Bart Budwig in a JPR live session. He stopped by during his Oregon, California tour. He's sharing the stage with Meredith Lane, also from Enterprise, Oregon, and now in Nashville. And also Southern Oregon's own, the Brothers Reed, on a couple of these dates as well.
So. Yeah. Unfortunately, we got snowed out.
Oh,
so I'm gonna hopefully I'll come back and play a couple shows with them.
Yeah, that would be a good double bill. I should get you guys here in the summer together. So what's in store for the rest of 2023? You have some new tunes. Is there a new album on the way?
I'm working on writing. Kind of booked up through July right now, so I'm waiting a bit for the fall planning because I already got all busy through July. Maybe I need to take the fall off or something. recording the Shook Twins, running sound for the Shook Twins on the road for a month, and playing some more shows around the Northwest and then over to Colorado in June and July. So that's, and hopefully I'll be writing, my goal is to write one song a month too in the middle of all that.
Well, we look forward to hearing those as they come out.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for stopping by. You can find out more about Bart Budwig at bartbudwig.com. JPR Live Sessions are engineered by John Griffin. Find them at our website, ijpr.org. Also, Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. And this JPR Live Session was made possible with the support of the Falls Tap House, offering an extensive tap selection, outdoor rooftop seating, food trucks on site, and, of course, live music. They're open for beerness daily. Find Falls Tap House at Facebook and Instagram, and stick around for more open air in just a moment.